This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
This is Burr Martin of the Burr Martin Experience Podcast, or Selfie Dad as I'm known around the internet. Now, I could tell you all about my podcast by throwing in some special effects or sound bites, but I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm a busy man, brother. I'm a C-minus internet celebrity. Look, I've worked in radio for over 12 years. I've produced about 15 different shows. I worked in a comic book shop. I've done stand-up, hosted events, and I was even voted Hero of the Week in the UK. My podcast is co-hosted by my wife, and we talk about anything and everything. And occasionally, one of our three kids will interrupt to tell us what's going on in their generation. We talk about celebrities, politics, pop culture, and news stories you've probably never heard about. All right, we're radio friendly and we try and keep things upbeat. So join me every week for the Burr Martin Experience Podcast here on the Pants Pending Studios Network. That's Burr Martin. So put a BM in your podcast catcher today and it'll be who wrote the poop joke? I am a C-minus internet celebrity. Which one of you writers wrote that? You go back and you work for Late Night with Chevy Chase. That won't fly here.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
If you haven't done anything by 55, you're not going to. No one gets their shit together at 56 and a half.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is the Social Hour. On today's show, Deese sits down one-on-one with comedian from Spread Eagle Comedy, James May. And now your host. He's still complaining about all the traffic from the St. Patrick's Day parade this last weekend. Deese Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. Thank you for coming back for another episode. Special episode, Jeremy and Sophie are gone for the evening. Sophie is lofted in Montana, and Jeremy is taking care of his kids like a real son of a bitch. But that's okay. Every now and then, he's got to be a dad. But we are here with comedian James May. James, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty great, man. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, we got a little one-on-one episode, a little bit of a truncated episode too. As you guys know, moving into spring and fall, my schedule gets a little nuttier, so the episodes come in different packages for the next few months. Not our standard full crew, full show, but as always, you do get a show every single Wednesday. So make sure and subscribe. Tell a friend. Also, be sure to go to Patreon.com/PantsPending. Check out all these shows on the network on PantsPending.com. Donate a couple bucks. You can do a one-time donation or subscribe. Get all the exclusive behind-the-scenes content from across the network. Lots of great stuff coming out for you from Nerd, the Burr Martin Experience, and of course, me giving you all your extra exclusive behind-the-scenes stand-up specials, sketches, blooper reels, all kinds of shit. So you know where it's at. Just go check it out, guys. Anyway, it has been a long day already, and it's not even like the sun's not even down. But that's what happens. It's okay. It's story of my life. So we are here with James. We're gonna talk to him a bit about what he's doing. He is a relative newcomer to the Spokane comedy landscape with him and Spread Eagle Comedy and some of the shows they have been doing. So we want to talk about that. Just so you guys know, on March 22nd at the Observatory, they have the March Madness on the mic. And then on 4/20, that's April 20th, at the Garland Theater, another What's the name of that show, James? I should have written it.
Honestly, it's just the 420 show with Michael Glatzmeyer included.
That's right. All right, 420. Michael Glatzmeyer, my buddy, the other half of the nearly famous duo. Check out Michael at the Observatory or at the Garland Theater on April 20th. That is going to be a great show. So, James, you moved here not that long ago from Alaska, right?
Yeah, I mean, I went up there and told some stupid jokes about me from Alaska at first. Like, I became the Alaska dude at one point. I mean, I heard the words. I moved down here 7 years ago.
Oh, 7 years.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it feels like, from your comedy, it sounds like you were just like, you got off a bus from Alaska straight to the stage.
Wait, you thought I was telling the truth there?
I thought you were like, just got here from Alaska. What? You've been here 7 years?
Just
from Spook. Why are you in Alaska in the first? I feel like only felons and Eskimos and narwhals live in Alaska.
I was a military kid.
They have military base. Why are we protecting Alaska from who?
Russia.
From fucking Sarah Palin?
Yeah. Did you not hear? You can see them from our backyard.
Well, okay. What? Did you ever see did you ever see Russia?
No.
You never saw it?
She's full of shit.
Where in Alaska did you live?
Anchorage, basically.
Okay. Are you just saying that because that's the only city in Alaska anyone knows the name of?
Basically. No. Elmendorf, Chugiak.
Ketchikan? Is that one?
Yeah. Ketchikan? No, you got it. Like Valdez?
I don't know, man. We're just naming oil companies. What's the one with where it's like never sunlight? Is that Barrow?
I believe that's Barrow.
Yeah, that's the one that was in like 30 days of night, right?
I just didn't pay attention in Alaska studies.
Okay.
Like, I was that kid that I was just more paying attention to what I was doing, and I was just like,
what?
Other cities?
What's it like growing up in Alaska?
It's dark.
Okay.
Like, for sure. But the summers, nobody gives a crap about what you're doing ever.
Well, like, yeah.
Like, it was just freeing where somebody just didn't care, like, if you were going to kill yourself.
Oh, well, they have, like, the highest suicide rate per capita in America, don't they?
Oh, dude, that's the dark.
Yeah.
It was just, it's depressing.
Sure.
But it was freeing during the summer where I can go out and, that's a hard.
Yeah. It seems weird. I mean, I lived in Western Montana. I moved from L.A. to Western Montana to a city with no one. Well, actually, when I moved there, it had zero stoplights. It now currently has one stoplight 20 years later. So, I mean, I feel like that wasn't quite the same. But, I mean, I've never been to Alaska. But I just assume, all I assume is just like rolling tundra and fighting for your life against polar bears.
I mean, in Valdez or the wherever the village is. Yeah, sure.
I like that they call them villages still. Yeah. They're not even towns or cities or like pit stops. They're fucking villages. Villages infers to me that like there's no power and most people ride donkeys.
I mean, they're riding mooses, but...
No, you're being facetious now. No one's riding a moose.
They're not riding donkeys. They can't survive.
Are donkeys not indigenous to Alaska?
No.
Okay.
We're just saddling up the mooses, and we're just, like, holding by the horns, antlers.
Whatever they have. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I am actually fascinated by this. What was growing up in Alaska, like what do you do? Like when you are out of, first of all, how much snow was there all year round?
All right. So I guarantee you 6 to 7 months out of the year, you do not see the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just snow covered. Like, it's crazy.
So at least half the year, if not 75% of the year we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. And there's a whole joke in Alaska about, like, we have four seasons.
Sure.
There's winter, fall, spring, and construction season.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's it's
like summer is just where we fix shit so we can get through the winter.
What is the warmest it gets where you live?
Surprisingly, it's like 84 degrees.
Okay, so it's like nice, it's warm.
Like, summers are amazing. The sun's up till like 1-2 in the morning.
That's crazy. And meth heads must be fucked up there.
Oh, dude, like it's no the heroin addicts.
Yeah, just like what? Like, I fell asleep and woke up and the sun's still up. Like, you're supposed to, it's supposed to be a different day, not the same day and the sun's still up. That's not how heroin works.
The really hard part is actually waking up and it's still the night.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, that'd fuck you up too,
dude. I mean, I think teenagers, all they have to do is like have snowball fights and do drugs.
That like, sounds like a great during teenage. The winter. That sounds like a great way
like,
to grow up.
It sucked. It sucked so much. I had nothing to do.
So Anchorage is close to the coast, right? Is it coastal?
Yeah, it's like right in the whatever it's called.
Like
I didn't
a harbor
pay attention.
Or something. Yeah, there's water. It's like yeah, it's a
port.
It's a sound. Can you get in the water or is it just too cold?
You can during the summer. Like,
did you ever?
No.
Like, literally
never?
I'm not
an idiot.
Like, never?
No.
Oh, God.
Like, why would I do, like, the indoor pool?
Yeah, but not the ocean.
No.
There's, like orcas and shit in there. You're going to die.
There's actually a surf shop up there.
Yo, get the fuck out. No, one's surfing in Alaska.
Yeah, dude.
Who the fuck is surfing in Alaska? Do they not know Hawaii or Tahiti exists? Have they ever been to... Costa Rica and Belize.
I didn't know what was going on when I found this out, but they explained it to me that the Japanese waters come in.
Yeah,
during...
all the irradiated shit. So you're warmed up by the radiation of fucking...
that was before this.
Here, fucking Fukushima or whatever the fuck it was that blew up a couple of years ago. You got fucking three-headed narwhals out there trying to fuck you in the butthole with their goddamn, like, fuck that shit, dude. These people are insane. No wonder you moved. I would have left, too.
I guess there's just like warmer water during a certain time.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
That's why I never tried.
No, all right.
But I didn't just grow up in Alaska, though. Being a military kid, I lived half, like, I was born in the Philippines.
Oh, nice. Ooh, okay.
So
yeah.
I'm actually half Filipino, technically.
Oh, wow. Okay. That tracks.
Yeah, look
your dad's
at me.
Filipino, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just born.
Way
to
there.
Break the mold. Yeah,
they're both super white.
Wait, who's the Filipino?
No one.
Wait, okay. So your dad was in the Army, Marines?
He was Air Force.
Air Force. And then he was stationed in
the Philippines.
Philippines.
And I was born there.
And your mom is not. She's also white then.
Yeah.
Both honkies.
But no, well, my mom's half Mexican.
Okay, so you're a quarter Mexican.
Yeah.
And a lot of and just white stuff after that.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about that stuff.
So it's all the same. So and then how long did you live in Alaska for?
I think about 10 to 11 years.
Okay.
And
your formative years.
And I only lived in the Philippines for two.
Okay, so you're born there and then moved to
the Mojave fucking desert.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
that fucks with a psyche.
Yeah, because there's nothing out there.
And then, wait. Then you send me to this place that there's fucking nothing out there?
Well, you go from the desert to, like, the Arctic. It's like they were testing someone. It's like they're doing scientific testing to figure out what kind of, like, atmospheric pressure and climate change people could. Yeah, I think you were Al Gore's model for fucking climate change.
Right?
You were what he was testing out to figure out how fucked up people will be from going from the hottest to the coldest temperatures.
Just like, how can we torture this
fucker?
Yeah,
you're an inconvenient truth. So
you let that's me in a nutshell.
All right. So let's... you got to Spokane, and now you started doing comedy in Spokane. How long have you been doing comedy for?
Since July.
Since July, and it is fucking what?
March.
Okay.
Yeah, so less than
months,
a year.
Eight months. Like that? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what made you want to try doing comedy?
Well, so what made me want to try is I got, like, you've heard my losing weight joke.
Yes.
Which is super hacky.
Sure.
But
I'll disagree with you.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know.
About getting out of a 7-year relationship.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That actually happened.
Okay.
So, and I just wanted to make a change. I was done with the norm and I was going to try it. And one of my best friends was really into it. And we were like, hey, let's go. Stick our sell both of us on the stake if we fucking bomb. We both did decently, and I couldn't stop.
So who was it? Who was the friend you went with?
Dylan Gruel.
And does he? I don't know who that is.
He's only done it once. He doesn't have the same passion.
Okay.
But I got to give him props to being there with me. And I just couldn't stop. I had to be there every chance that I had to be. Like, I've always wanted it. I have this really cool story, or cool, I don't know, but about how I got my mom's password to the cable.
Okay.
She wanted to teach me how to use her debit card, right?
Oh, perfect. God, you had a cool mom.
Yeah, like, she sent me in to go buy my own Sprite and gave me her debit card to go use when I was, like, 9.
How old are you?
I'm 28. 29 in a few days.
Wow, that's amazing, because I don't think I saw a debit card till I was like 25. And I'm not, I mean, I'm 36, but that's, it's...
My mom was pretty awesome.
Like, I had to, I'd like get my own bank account and see a debit card. I didn't like know there were debit cards. Okay, but so you got, so...
She sent me in, told me her PIN.
Yeah.
Well, you know how many digits a cable password has, right?
Oh, I don't have cable.
Well, it's 4.
Okay.
And her PIN number's 4 numbers.
Okay. So you just took a guess.
And, hey, welcome George Carlin, Richard Pryor.
Didn't you go for the porn?
Oh,
you
no.
Went
that,
for comedy?
No. I did both. It was just like I watched Richard Pryor, and then there was like...
Yeah. Beat off, and then you're in your fucking...
that softcore Skinamax.
Right. And then your refractory period, you watch a Dave Chappelle skin. I get it.
Yeah. That's how I was rolling. And that's how it all like built up. I was just watching those guys and I was just like, holy cow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like talking too.
So we've all been there and watched the, Richard Pryor, George Carlin, guys like that is very ubiquitous and kind of universal as far as comedy goes. People, there's not many people that would be, take a hard stance that those guys are hacks in comedy.
Yeah.
But let's talk more current.
Okay.
I don't want to say inspiration because I hate that question when I get it too.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, oh, do you have any, inspiration or blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know. I watched a million comedians and I don't think I necessarily, I have a little bit of all of them in me probably, is what I think. But like, I mean, there's ones I like, but I think some of the comics I like the most, I don't sound anything like. But who are some of the comics more currently that you would say are, no, I don't want to say inspirations, but just favorites.
Okay. I actually talk about this with all my friends a lot. John Mulaney, 100%.
Okay.
Like, I saw him live at the Fox when he was in town.
Yeah.
It was one of the...
He's a great, great writer. Fantastic. The guy, his writing is probably one of the best comic writers of all time.
His voice play, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah. I got to say Joe Rogan for sure.
Okay.
Like, way...
So have you done DMT?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in the Church of Joe.
Okay, perfect. I like that.
Ari Shaffir is up there for me.
Okay.
I got to give Ari a shout out. Bert Kreischer.
Okay.
And I'm at 4. Then Daniel Sloss, man. I got to see him twice when he was in town.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. Like, I have a lot of respect for people that can go out there and talk about things that people don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
And make them laugh.
Yeah, it is, especially these days, that is a talent that really has to be finessed. It's an interesting thing because, I mean, I've seen it over the years and watched and debated with people where it is your level of success also contributes to your ability to say and speak on certain subjects. Like Louis C.K. before he was banished to the dark side. He had sets where he was saying faggot and using the N-word and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like for some reason he could get away with it because he was like this end-all and be-all of comedy, which, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Louis C.K. is very clever and some of his stuff's very funny. I never got the point where he was anointed the king of comedy, but I get where he was. I understand his success. I find it quite hypocritical in comedy where people want to allow someone to use certain topics because of their success level. And that's what dictates what they can get away with. And I guess maybe there's like, if they've earned it. But also it's like, it's very hypocritical. And that's something I've always had issues with in comedy, but that's probably a longer, that's just a weird,
I get
always,
where you're coming from with that. Like for sure. Like, Daniel has such a deep thought in it all. And like, I get how people can't find like Louis funny in those situations.
Sure.
And I didn't even actually find his inward bit in his last special that funny.
Yeah.
I found it just like, oh, you just are trying to shock us.
Right. It's trying to, he's trying to evoke emotion because he took such a big hit backwards and was forced to kind of start, and he kind of felt that. I feel like there's a lot of comics that start that way when they're beginning. They feel like they need to shock because they're not clever enough to write. So their only punchline is a shock instead of finding a clever turn or clever, you know, writing technique. And I think he kind of got demoted to that because of what happened with him, but it's a little different, you know.
I almost actually fell into that whole thing when I first started it all.
Yeah.
And
everyone does for at least a little bit. It's not I don't fault anyone for beginning that way, because literally every single comic does. It's a matter of how long they're there and how deep it goes, but every comic is in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and I got to give credit to all my friends I met and everything, to Dre, Hannah, Ronan, Chris, Stacy. They've really helped me just like hone it and like have perspective. Like, don't go say that stupid shit. Like,
yeah.
You're not there. You don't have that ability. And it's really helped me just like push forward in the things that I can be saying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at the point that I'm just talking about stupid shit I do high.
Yeah.
And
well, it's one of those things where if you want to tackle, and that is a little, and maybe I'm going to contradict some of the things I said about Louis C.K. here, but I will say that the better you get at comedy, you're the more able you are to tackle difficult topics because you're just better at comedy and smarter at it.
Mm-hmm.
That takes time. I mean, there's bits I had when I first started that were edgier that I just wasn't able to pull off because I wasn't good enough yet. And then, you know, years later, I dust those off and I start working on them, and I'm just like better at comedy. And you kind of understand the way that, like, how to navigate it and present it and where to place it in a set. You know, I mean, it's also about where you place it in your set, that mm-hmm. to know that, like, well, I just did this whole thing that kind of makes me look like an idiot, so it's a little easier to push back at you now. And now you're not going to make, it's not going to feel like I'm just attacking people. I just shit on myself for 15 minutes. So, like, you know, it's a balance. And I think that that's just reps. It's just like, you know, I mean, it's just like a sport. It's just reps. The longer you do it, you get the better, you know. It's just, you figure out the easiest way to do it and how to become more efficient at it.
Practice, practice, practice.
Exactly.
So I wanted to ask you though, why'd you get into comedy, man?
Why did I get into comedy? Bad parents, teenage angst. Fuck, I don't know. Crippling alcohol addiction starting at 13. I've been asked this question a lot recently. I've been doing a lot of radio and different interviews for things, and I really don't have an answer for that question. I don't. I can talk about. Sorry, I'm drinking a 40 of Old English because I'm a piece of shit.
I'm having a Rolling Rock because I'm white trash.
my road to comedy was so weird. I mean, I always knew I loved comedy when I was a kid. I used to, and people who listen to the show have heard this story many times, I'm sure. But I used to, like, my mom would basically, you know, hide in the back room and yell freak out, and my dad would get drunk and pass out on the sofa. And I would pretend like I would fall asleep on the living room floor, because if I did that, no one would move me. They just let me sleep until my dad would like wake up in the middle of the night and just take me to bed. So, and just like, you know, if he passed out, he thought I was asleep, he'd pass out. And then I could stay up and watch the Tonight Show or Johnny Carson or later Jay Leno, but, you know, Johnny Carson growing up. And then, Saturday Night Live or VH1 used to do a stand-up spotlight on the weekends hosted by at a long time ago, Rosie O'Donnell, back when she was actually not a cunt. and then, I mean, she probably was. She was hiding it better. And then...
Ambien brought it out.
Yeah. And then later a comic named Bobby Collins, which they both, that was at the Ice House in Pasadena. And that I used to like watch that, and I'm like, oh, I love this. I had no idea how to get there. I didn't know the road. And years later, when I was living in Long Beach, where I'm from, there's this new bar opened up, and I was hanging out there, and they started doing a comedy open mic, and I got to know the guy who ran it, and I'm like, oh, we became friends, and I tried it one night, and I liked it. He got the bug, did it a couple times, started doing sketch comedy and improv and comedy writing, because at heart I'm a writer. Like, I've written books I've published, and like,
oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, so I started writing comedy and selling comedy articles to websites and selling content, and then I was writing punch up for scripts. People I knew who wrote scripts for different production companies, I would do punch up on scripts and things like that. And I didn't do stand up for a long time after that, but then eventually got back into it the last few years, and that's really just kind of taken off. And it's, you know, it's one of the things where I tell people all the time, you have to do a million things. Like, I do a million things because you can't just do stand up and make it. You have to write, you have to do a podcast, you have to do sketch cut, you have to do a million things, like, and they all trickle into a bucket. And, you know, that's the only way to make it in comedy anymore. So,
That's exactly what Spread Eagle's trying to do right now. I'm so happy to hear that, like, from somebody that's more successful right now, and like, everything. That's exactly what we want to do. And I can't, like, I love the fact that you, I watched your cop buddy thing.
Oh yeah.
you guys are so, so silly. Like, that's the only way to put it. And, yeah, man. I gotta say though, one of my favorite jokes that you have is that that one that online right now of your name being French and Mexican at the same time.
Oh, French and Italian.
Italian.
And yeah, and
you just don't know. Oh, dude, it killed me.
thank you. Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things where you really have to be willing to be ridiculous and not care, like, and just content. I mean, I do you just do weird videos, weird shit, just put it out there and hope the more content you have, because I mean, there was a time years ago when agents and talent agents and things sat in comedy clubs and watched for new talent.
Yeah.
No fucking talent agent or fucking anyone manager is sitting in clubs looking for talent. They fuck that. They don't have time for that shit.
No more sitcoms.
If someone is funny, that person will appear on their computer or their cell phone. Someone's going to send them a clip and be like, hey, dude, I just saw this guy in fucking Poughkeepsie, and he's killing it. And then they'll look at him, they'll watch 37 seconds of it, of a 10-minute clip, and if they think it's decent, they might watch some more. Like, that's where it's at. And if the more you can get content out there, the more eyes you have on it, and just, you know, that's all it is.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So I got to say something about your little studio here.
Yes.
I'm loving all your posters.
They're all pictures of big dicks. No,
can we fanboy for a second here? Yeah, I love the original X-Men poster.
Yep.
Like,
I am a huge comic book nerd. Everyone knows. I've got an old comic book here. Also,
the Rhino.
It's a 19 early 70s issue of The Amazing Spider-Man that my dear friend Tom Meissert gave to me, a great comic in Spokane, before he moved to Chicago. We were cleaning out his house, and I was helping to move. He gave that to me. No, I'm a big comic book nerd. I love comic books. Yeah.
So now you have to tell me your favorite Marvel movie.
Well, I did just see Captain Marvel.
How? Okay. So there's a lot of controversy on that with the empty theater theory. Let's just say that. How was the theater when you went there? Was it full?
It was fairly full.
Okay.
I went in the middle of the day on a Tuesday because that's when I go see movies.
Good choice. Discounts?
Not only discounts, but it's like, I don't get a lot of time off Tuesdays. I usually have some free time during the day, and that's kind of my day. If I go, I take myself on, like, when there's a movie I want to see, I'm only going to watch it in the theater, because once it leaves the theater, I'll never find it. Like, I don't have TV. I don't have time to watch TV. If I watch something at home, I'll start working, and I just, like, I'm get on my computer, and then 2 hours have gone by, I didn't watch the fucking movie. So I have to hold myself captive, hostage, in a fucking movie theater to watch a movie.
Okay.
So I go usually, and I'll hit it. I'll, like, grab some lunch and take myself a little day date and, like, actually relax for 2 hours, because I never fucking relax. And honestly, I thought it was great. Like, in my opinion, top five Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Top five?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm on the fence about going and seeing it. Just
see it. It was great.
Okay, go do it.
Fucking great. Like, fuck all the haters and everyone who wants to be, like, shitty about it. Because, listen, as much shit as I talk, and as much as I sound like an asshole all the time, I'm, like, the most easygoing, open, non-judgmental guy in the world. And, like, I don't give a shit if it's, like, Black Panther, it's a black guy, or it's a woman, or whatever. Who gives a fuck what the lead is?
Wonder
Woman's
good movie. One of my favorites.
This movie fucking cuckolded the shit out of Wonder Woman.
Really?
This movie is so fucking good. And I like Wonder Woman.
Okay.
This movie is so fucking good. Brie Larson nails it. They have some of, like, they kind of do a little thing at the end. Like, they kind of give a little, like, all right, yeah, this is kind of the slight moral, like, you know, women kind of held down, women empowered. But it's not in your face and, like, really, like, over the top preachy, but it is there. And it's like, all right, that was done really well. Like, you got your point across. We get it. It's totally done well. It's like, it's a good message, but also it's just a fun movie. There's enough humor. There's enough action. I loved it. Top five Marvel movies for me.
Okay. I'll have to go see it now. Then I have to ask about Shazam then. What do you feel about that? Because let me tell you, I am so excited for that.
Really?
Yeah, dude, it looks so much fun.
I will see it. I will. Here's the deal. Any comic book movie, I will go see.
Okay, in the same boat then.
Even if I'm not super excited about it, I will go see it.
Yeah.
Because that's just, it's ingrained in me. My whole life growing up, they didn't have the ability to make them, and all I wanted was them to make comic book movies. I'm like, this would be so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're making them, so I have to. And I was never, like, a super Shazam fan. It does look fun. DC has made they've made pretty shitty movies so far. I will say Aquaman wasn't bad. It was about 40 minutes too long.
Aquaman was pretty dope for me.
It wasn't bad. I just, like, there were a lot of scenes where I'm like, you could have left a lot of this on the editing room floor.
I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, you didn't need to see that part.
Yeah.
And
there were just some little things. I don't think they're nailing it the way, unfortunately.
Marvel nails it.
Right.
They do. They have a formula.
Well, now that you have movies like Now that, especially ever since James Gunn in Guardians of the Galaxy.
You know he's back for three?
I did hear that, which is amazing, which is
I'm
great.
I'm happy for
and
him.
And fuck all you pieces of shit that want to uncover old resurface.
That.
It's not resurface. The motherfucker tweeted it to a million people years ago. Suck a dick, bitches. Also, don't take it out of context and fuck you. You know, you fucking
You're
piece
right.
of shit. If you want, if you spend your time digging up old tweets to make someone else possibly lose a job, fucking kill yourself. I fucking hate you, garbage ass fucking person. Go donate your time to charity and fucking build, make a sandwich for a fucking homeless person and do something good with your goddamn life, or just fucking kill yourself because your wife probably wants to because she hates you too. Everyone, nobody likes you. You're a goddamn asshole. I fucking hate these people that their whole life is just to fucking undermine someone else and hopefully get someone suspended. God damn it. Nobody, Jesus Christ, your parents probably wish they aborted you, you piece of shit. There's going to be an episode of fucking Quantum Leap where fucking Scott Bakula has to go back in time and scrape your fucking ass out of your mom's vagina because nobody likes you, you piece of shit. Otherwise, I have no feelings on the matter.
I second that feeling. but where were we about Marvel having a formula? And they're killing it.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah. No. And then, honestly, my favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe movie probably is Thor Ragnarok.
Really?
That movie fucking is, because it has, so I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is great.
Yeah.
I actually really like Captain America Winter Soldier also, because it's like a spy thriller without, if you took away the spandex, it's just like a really great spy thriller.
That's my number one.
It's great.
That's my number one.
I can't fault you for that. It is arguably, it is, that's in their top five for me too. I don't know where it falls, but it's
Ragnarok's in my top five.
Ragnarok is like, that movie had just the right amount of comedy. Jeff Goldblum was great.
It
turned around a franchise that was shit because the other two Thor movies were terrible. And like, it was like this weird cop buddy duo of like Thor and Hulk,
yes,
you know, fish out of water
thing.
Space
cop buddies.
Yeah. It was done very well. So, and they took a franchise that was floundering and they turned it on its head, and you're like, oh, this is, you guys found the formula. You figured it out. You know,
they found a great director for it when it came down to it. Like, yeah. I heard it was like half improvised, if not like a third.
I would imagine it seems like they probably did a lot of takes of all those and just let them kind of go and figured out the best way to take it.
All right, now that we're on this nerd thing, I got another nerd question for
all
you. In Endgame, right, which is coming out,
the new Avengers,
in April,
yes,
right.
Uh-huh.
How do they get the Soul Stone?
The Soul Stone. Which one's the Soul Stone? That's the one.
The one that Gamora.
That's the one Gamora had.
Yeah, that got sacrificed for. So how do they get it?
Well, also keep in mind he has the Time Stone. He can go back. He can go back in time. That's the thing. Like, all this stuff can be reverted very easily because of the Reality Stone. The time, you can warp any of these things.
Yeah.
And revert it back. So I think there's going to be a lot of time travel, reality warping things that are going to make that happen.
But the whole like concept of like the biggest theory is they're going to go back in time and like grab the stones, right?
Yeah.
How do they grab the Soul Stone?
The Gamora has.
Gamora does not have it. She got killed for it.
Who
Thanos,
had it?
Red Skull did.
Oh, that's
technically
right. Yeah.
He was the protector, and then Thanos had to give up the one thing he loved
to get it. That's right.
So how do the Avengers get the Soul Stone?
That is an interesting question. I don't know. Do we have a theory?
I feel like Cap and Iron Man are just going to make out on the edge, and the other one's going to push the other one off.
A weird twist.
Right. Yeah. No, seriously, I have no clue, but I don't think anybody's ever actually thought about, like, how do you get the Soul Stone?
Well,
you have to give up the one thing you love.
There could be, you know, how if with the Time Stone, you can go far enough back to get it to usurp the Red Skull from ever getting it before he dies in the first place.
Well, the Red Skull doesn't have it. He just protects it.
So who has it?
Just the universe.
Huh.
And the planet, basically.
Interesting. I don't remember that part of the movie that well.
I'm out nerding Deese
right now. God, I'm trying to remember how that went down. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I am looking forward to it. I heard it's like almost 3 hours, which is a little rough, but
I'm okay.
Yeah,
I need an ultimate ending to all this.
Yeah, I am. You know, it's such an interesting thing. They've done a great job with it, but I'm looking forward to everything that's happening.
So, I mean, do you have any last questions for me, man?
We got
nerded out.
Yeah,
a
I know.
Bit.
We got distracted. Okay. Before we go, we got about 8 minutes left. So let's do this.
Yeah.
Before we go, let's get into, we've touched on it for the Spread Eagle Comedy. Now that's you and Chris Army. Is that the heads of Spread Eagle Comedy now? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. So okay. Me and Chris started it off. Me and him, we met. He told a really funny joke, and I was just like, I want to write with you.
Yeah.
And I used to skateboard, and I loved skateboard teams. It always like benefited me to be around people doing the same thing as me and wanting to be just like watch each other grow together. That dude landed that trick. I wanted to land that trick.
Yeah.
And then now it's just grown into a whole big friendship, and Chris gets most of the stuff done. He's the gears and I'm more of the glue, like just making sure everything's running smoothly. But like, it's a writing collective and we're just trying to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to make the path for us. And we realized that really quickly.
Well, in comedy is a very interesting thing that way, because it is like an island, because everyone is their own identity and their own comic. And basically, if you get booked, it's just you getting booked, generally. I mean, but you know, it's nice to get a group of people. I know, you know, I feel like everyone kind of has their
friends
groups in comedy. I mean, I know there's my people that I hang with and write with, and those are, you know, my group. I mean, the nice thing about Spokane comedy is that almost really everyone in Spokane comedy is at least amicable with each other, if not good friends. I've been to much bigger scenes where people are, I mean, just vile and undercutting and very like underhanded with each other. So we're very lucky in the sense that, I mean, we may not be best friends and like call every other comic in Spokane, but we're all amicable enough where if we see each other, it's, hey, how's it going? You know, I mean, there's no discord.
Yeah. So, like always shaking hands. Like I see you, I'm just like, hey, good seeing you tonight. Good luck.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and hopefully today we got to know each other a little bit more. And like, yeah, I want to be I love comedy so much. Like, I watch it like going to bed all the time. Like, and I want to be friends with everybody. It's just who I am.
Yeah.
And I want people to like me. That's why I'm on stage almost. Like, go figure.
Yeah.
I'm sitting up there trying to make people laugh. I just want people to like me. And it just feels good, like, even doing these roast battles that we do and seeing all the comics out there. Like, it just feels so good that I brought everybody together.
Yeah.
Not to just toot my own horn or anything, but it feels so good that we could do that for the community. And
yeah,
that's how much I just love it. And like the last two shows, I just pay out of my pocket, man. Like, that's how much I love it. Not to once again talk too much, but like, I just want to see everybody there.
Yeah.
It's a fun event and we can give each other shit for a night. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. Well, it's really great. And that's it is one of the things I learned early, and I would give this advice to most newer comics. Just say yes to I kind of take this approach to life because I did improv for quite a while.
Yeah.
And the first tenet of improv is yes and, meaning if someone says something, you say you agree and then you add on to it. And I kind of took that, I folded that into my life mantra. So just in general in life and things to happen, I'm just kind of fucking let's go with the flow, man. I say yes, and then I find a way to like build onto it. And it's got me into crazy circumstances, but they've always been fun. And with comedy, I've been offered, when I'm offered shows, if they're things I think are out of my bounds or out of my box or I'm not prepared for, I just say yes. And I always say this bet on yourself. And if you bet on yourself, I work better under pressure. So if I paint myself into a corner where it's not like I'm not prepared for that or I've never done that for, like I force myself to be able to be good enough. And I hold myself at a standard where I have to be at least good enough to do it. So by the time I do it, I'm like, oh, well, now I did that. And like, and now I feel more comfortable doing that. It makes me better at, you know, it's just like, say yes, figure it out, and, you know, just keep going. Because there's so many intricate things of comedy. Like, you start doing these other shows, like the roast battles or the off-the-cuff stuff where it's all improv. And you figure out how to really build that all into one persona, and it makes you it's a great way to like keep building.
Yeah, and I'm totally with that. Like, I'm just, anything anybody wants me to do, like, just hit me up. Like, I'm saying yes to all of this. Like it does not even matter to me. Like, I just, give me a mic, do it, and like, yeah, yes. And even thinking about improv, man, like, I would love to get back into that. I did it all in high school.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so much fun to just be like, yep, and then just build and build. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, it's been an interesting ride this first year. Like, I couldn't imagine it going this way. I got out of my 7-year relationship.
Yeah.
And now I'm telling stupid ass jokes.
That's you got to do it, man. That's what does it. So, all right. Well, we are, I think, about ready to wrap up here, guys. Let me see. Let's see, what is today? It is March. Oh yeah, guys. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the 27th, or I'm sorry, the 20th, the day it's released. This Friday, I'll be in Lewiston, Idaho at Shooters. Come check that out. This Sunday at the Spokane Comedy Club with Michael Glatzmeyer doing the Michael Glatzmeyer Experience. That's a great show. It's kind of the kickoff.
Yeah, Michael.
That's kind of the kickoff to Michael and I's spring summer tour, guys. We've got like fucking 40 dates through March, April, May. March, April, May, and June. We're going to be doing all over Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, I think even Nevada and California. So, guys, check it out. Go to Nearly Famous on Facebook and check out all the dates. And then also, just go to Spread Eagle Comedy on Facebook. Follow them. You can catch all of what Jay at the Observatory. And also, that's this Friday. So if you're not down in Lewiston, if you're here in Spokane, go to that. And then April 20th at the Garland Theater also. Get tickets to go see the show. Anytime you get to see Michael, you're going to have a good time. All right, James. Anywhere.
Follow us on Instagram at Spread Eagle Comedy. And then also, we will be doing a Wenatchee show coming up.
All right.
Thank you for having me, Deese.
Yeah, no problem. All right, guys. For the Social Hour, I am Deese. And for James, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Alaska, Eskimos, Sarah Palin, Russia, Narwhals, Scott Bakula, Wonder Woman, and DC Comics. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week. I feel like only felons and Eskimos and narwhals live in Alaska.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!